Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode,
if you help people and guide them and teach them what it looks like to be their best selves and give them tools along the way with a healthy diet, morning practice, whatever that could look like, meditation, yoga, setting an intention, evening practice, who they have in their circle, who supports them, being social, shopping at right grocery stores to get proper food that's not toxic, things like that, we could have such a different society.
Welcome to impactboom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to episode 465 of Impact Boom. My name is Sarah, and I'm passionate about visioning, empowering, and contributing to positive, creative, regenerative, heart and soul-led initiatives locally and globally. And today, we're speaking with Lee Hurst. Lee's been guiding people all her life. She came from a home of violence, drugs, alcohol, and suicide. At 18, she was pregnant with her first child and in a very toxic relationship. And at 24, she had three children with the same person and decided she needed to motivate herself. And that's when she enrolled in Siena Heights University in Michigan. And at the time, her children were 5, 4, and newborn. At university, she earned 2 degrees, one in psychology and the other in social work, all centered around gerontology. During her college career, she also attended USC to work on her master's degree in gerontology. And through that, she's studying aging and teaching people how to age with grace. In 2012, she began this business as Awake and Aging, with the thought behind it for people to learn to consciously age. And she later rebranded it to Purposeful Living, helping people to understand the concept of connecting them to their purpose while helping them to be the best version of themselves. And now she helps people to align with themselves, breathe, heal, and be guided using various tools, including sound and energy work. On today's podcast, we'll discuss how and why Lee supports people to align with their best version of themselves, as well as the wisdom of embarking on the journey of inner growth and healing. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for all of that. It was such a pleasure to hear someone read that back to me of my life.
I know, a very brief summary, but I suppose to dive deeper into that, could you share what it was that has led you more deeply into the work that you're doing today?
With gerontology, it hit me at such a young age. I think I was 3 or 4 when I was constantly visiting my great grandmother and just noticing that people didn't really talk about aging. People didn't have solutions for aging. And I'm not talking anti-aging. I'm talking about healthy and conscious aging and mindset. It's really all about the mindset for sure. So then I thought, I'll go to school to be a teacher. And I sat in my son's first grade class and the children were jumping on their desk, not listening to the teacher. And I told the teacher, you know, I don't think I'm cut out for this. No, everybody is out of control. I still knew I wanted to be a teacher. And then I tapped into gerontology, which is study of aging. And many times, Sarah, that was in the 90s, there were so many times that I would go to class at university for gerontology and it would be myself and the professor. That's it. No other students. Nobody wanted to come and attend those classes. And we, you know, we're in the United States and we have so many baby boomers that are aging so quickly on a daily basis. Think of 10,000 or more every day. I mean, that's probably worldwide, I'm sure. And no one has any solution. They want to tap into that market and make money off of it. Well, let me say this anti-aging product, or you have to have the latest gadget to keep up with your blood pressure or your diabetes and all. There's a market for that. But why isn't there a market, or why isn't there teachings to help people age mindfully? Why? Where is that market? It's still my goal, even though the rebranding is purposeful living. If you help people and guide them and teach them what it looks like to be their best selves and give them tools along the way with a healthy diet, morning practice, whatever that could look like, meditation, yoga, setting an intention, evening practice, who they have in their circle, who supports them, being social, shopping at right grocery stores to get proper food that's not toxic, things like that, we could have such a different society worldwide. We could have people living their best lives as they're aging.
Thank you for sharing. And I think it's, as you said, like we hear the downsides or the problems or the very commercially focused conversations around aging. And I think it's really vital to bring that strengths-based approach and that conscious conversation to the possibilities of aging from a more expansive place and a more beautiful place. What can you tell us about some of the biggest, and you mentioned a few of them, but some of the biggest challenges as well as the biggest opportunities that you see in the work you do, both on a micro level, like with your clients, but on a macro level as well in this space?
During this time, I met someone from Australia back in 2011, and that person showed me all kinds of different ways of living, you know, a better life, a healthier life. And I went home from his workshop and I thought, you know, I'm going to get rid of my television. And I did. I haven't had television in my house since 2011. I think I'm going to go vegetarian. And I had a struggle with food my whole life. I was malnourished and kept away from food. That's a whole different story we don't have time for. Food was not in my awareness at the time, but I decided to go vegetarian. And then in 2014, I went vegan. And I never pushed that on anybody. It's just my lifestyle and it's part of my practice. But I'll tell you what, you said to name some of the positive opportunities. When and if I go to the doctor and she wants to run a test, one of the things that she always says is, you have no cholesterol. Why don't you have cholesterol? I don't eat meat. I don't eat dairy products, things like that. So even just little tweaks, I tell people when they're like, oh, I can never be vegan. You know how many times a day I hear that? And nobody's asking you to. What I'm saying is, what if you did Meatless Monday? Or what if you know the source of where your meat comes from? Just some of the food ideas of what you're putting into your body. Does it have to be prescription medicine? Is there something else that you can take for blood pressure instead of the pharmaceutical, the big farm type stuff? How do we teach people to think out of the box and not be led by what the television or what society tells us that we need to be doing? I never push. What I do is I create, when clients come to see me, I listen and I create a board. I do all this writing. And in the center of the board, I might put mindfulness because that's the journey that they're going toward. And so we might put on that board for them to hang up in their kitchen or their bathroom mirror of mindfulness in the center and morning meditation or morning prayer or Monday motivation of Meatless Monday or taking a walk outside or not allowing stress into your life this week. That's a really big one. All the doctor's appointments as we age that we need to go to. This doctor, you get a certain medicine, and from that medicine, it creates five other things that are wrong with you now. You have to see five other doctors. We're almost like a hamster on a wheel. How do we get off that hamster wheel? How do we get off of that? That's all I'm saying. We have this life. How can we make it better? How can we not be so led by what the television or politics or whatever you want to call it is leading us? We have our own brains. Mindset. Mindset is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And reclaiming that sovereignty and expanding the mind to The infinite possibilities and creative ways, creative problem solving and various opportunities, and making it come from a space of expansion, of joy, and of what's possible rather than deficit.
Think about it when, I don't know what they call it in Australia, but when the silent generation or generation that now those people are in their 80s and 90s, they didn't live like this. I mean, their parents didn't live like this is what I meant to say, I guess. Their parents went and got sugar from the neighbor or shared a meal with the neighbor or traded garden things and vegetables and things like that. But now we have to be careful of what we're truly putting into our system. My other big thing is death and dying. You know, I always tell people we die how we lived. Are we living, are we dying a comfortable death or are we struggling? And why? Why are we struggling in this death process that we're going through? The different chemicals and different things in our body and the things that they're pumping into our systems as we're going. We're not, I know people don't look at death as a beautiful journey, but it truly is. It can be, you know, it truly can be.
So I suppose like some of the things you've shared there are like a melding of those challenges and opportunities, like two sides of the same coin. What are some projects that you've done within Purposeful Living where you've seen those sorts of shifts happening with your community?
People that really want to be there, people that see that vision and want to create that vision and put it out into the world. I've had interns and volunteers my whole life. And what happens is they might work with me for free or for credits or for trade for years. But one of the things that they do is they take that springboard or that diving board and they jump off of it. And then they create their own business centered around like higher consciousness or higher thinking. And it might even just be something to do with clothes, but they're not having mass produced clothes or anything. You know what I'm saying? They are more tapping into it from a heart energy and from a, I'm going to say higher thinking place to create that business for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some inspiring projects or initiatives that you've come across recently that you feel are creating really amazing change?
So one of the places or one of the things, and I've been going to it for probably 13 or 14 years, it's always held usually in San Francisco, but they've held it in New York and they've held it in Hawaii, is there is, and I invite people to look this up because I use it for my own learning, is Wisdom 2.0. That's what it's called, Wisdom 2.0. And they have big people, big name people on there. It's where spirituality meets technology. So they might have someone like Eckhart Tolle on there and then Zuckerberg on there. What a contrast that is. And then they have little spin-offs of little classes to keep you updated with practicing your meditation and things like that. They are creating such a great shift in the world with their big conferences and then little classes when they're not having the conferences. It's such a great program. Such a great program.
Fabulous. And to finish off, Lee, are there any books or resources that you would really recommend to our listeners?
When I was really diving into this journey, the first one is Michael Singer, The Untethered Soul. It will definitely bring about change to your life. It's fantastic. Of course, people probably get tired of hearing Eckhart Tolle, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, but I do a paragraph of his, anything in his book every morning when I get up. It just brings that mindset together. And if anybody is struggling with stuff, Byron Katie. He has the Who Would You Be Without That Thought? She's a tough cookie. I've seen her many times at Wisdom 2.0. Who would you be with? Or she has the other one, Loving What Is. Loving What Is. She's tough. That's a good one to get into when you're really struggling, because she makes you work it and see it.
It's a powerful framework. Very effective. She is. Doing the work.
I feel like you know, I know you're knowing who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
She's tough. She's got the Loving Your Neighbor worksheet.
Yes. I've got a copy on the fridge.
I've seen her probably 13 or 14 times in San Francisco. And she is a stickler for, she doesn't let your mind get away with nothing. She calls it to you. So when you're ready to do the work, Byron Katie.
Fab. Lee, thank you so much for your time and for the work that you do in, as we've, I think, already established, a space where there was only you and the lecturer in the room. So a space that is very much in need of expansion, new possibilities, rethinking, and positivity. Yeah. So thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you guys for what you're doing and bringing awareness to all this work. You're part of that project of putting it into the world. So thank you guys.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below. And remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.